Hey coach, have you had time to process everything that happened last night?
We're in playoff mode, I guess. Yeah, we're celebrating the fun memories and, obviously all the good things that helped us get to this place. But right away, we kind of had multiple plans in place for if we won, and we kind of just we're hitting the ground running here, making sure we're putting our best foot forward to help the young women succeed on Saturday.
What were those plans in case you won, if you fooled me asking that?
Yeah, just kind of what today looks like. Obviously, you plan. I don't know if I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I fully plan for a double overtime, but it's always in the back of your mind. No, but how we would get them back going today, because a 12 p.m. Saturday doesn't give you time for a skate. So knowing that Friday, bare minimum, if we can get them rolling today, is beneficial. But sleep and recovery is going to be the first focus. So just worked with all of our strength coach and academic trainer or our athletic trainer, and just making sure that. We're prioritizing what they need, and we have an amazing director of ops that already had all the travel in place, so we're good to go.
Eli?
How's it going, coach? Yeah, Tessa Domain has kind of stepped into kind of a more advanced role than she's had this season with, the injury to Maeve Carey, unfortunately. Could you kind of talk about what you've seen and thought of her to kind of step into more of a prominent role?
Yeah, I mean, first out, shout out to our defensive coach, Reagan Russ, and skills. Like, I mean, between Kate and Tessa, who have been freshman defensemen for us, kind of in the queue, and just great players who have been getting better all season and putting the work in, both were ready to go. And they just both bring very different styles. And for Tessa, just assertiveness, her first three strides, playing physical, playing solid defensively, it kind of gives you a little bit of predictability. And she's really just shown that she's ready. She competes every day in practice to our standards. And we just felt like she was game ready and would be able to step in.
Go for it, Dan.
Hey, coach. Just want to say congratulations, first of all, and just a basic thought on what this game means to the team, and how do you come up with the victory over Northeastern on Saturday night?
Yeah, a body of hard work. I think it's been a great season for this group. They've earned every win and every opportunity that's come our way, and this is the ultimate one, obviously, that has been on the radar, and this is where our program should be. And so I think just getting comfortable in these moments to earn a regular season and a bean pod and the hockey's championship, like these are the moments and the opportunities that we want to consistently put ourselves in as a program. And so for that, yes, it's this team, it's this special group that's really turn the corner for us, that they deserve every second of this, and they deserve to have all their hard work pay off, but they're also laying the foundation for the future of BU Women's Hockey again.
And maybe in your first year, how different a team are you from the Beanpot as you come into this championship game?
Huge. And it's subtle and visible all at the same time, right? I mean, we put ourselves in that situation to play in a big moment. And, I think we can all reflect back and say we wanted more. We wanted to be able to respond under pressure and stress a little bit better. And then we go on a run to try to, get that regular season championship, something that meant a lot to us. And I think by the time you get to playoffs, it kind of all gets you to the point where it's like, all right, what have we learned? And that's something that this group's taken pride in all year, is what do you learn from every moment? How do you chip away? How do you get better? And I was so just pleasantly, not surprised, but just so proud of the group and their mentality and how they showed up yesterday. One period at a time, one shift at a time, ready to go to work. And that's what we've learned. And we just tried to stack those experiences throughout the season.
Sounds like you want to play the game right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Thank you.
You got it.
We'll go Eli, then Sam.
Yeah, so I don't know if you know this, but you guys haven't led at any point other than, when you won the game in these first two playoff games. Just kind of talk to me a little bit about what you've seen from you guys, just, kind of backs against the wall, not having had a lead to play with.
Eli, I definitely do know that. I will tell you that. but that's the thing. And it's funny, from the very first meeting of the season, I know you guys that have been around a long time have heard the word curiosity from me, solving problems. It's been the message. It's a lot of the times, as a young woman and high performing student athlete, you don't get to this level if there's not a certain, like some element of profession or perfectionists in your mentality, but that's just not the reality at the highest level. And we've been talking about all season, you on a game day, a lot of us think about wanting to get the win, having the perfect game, and that just doesn't exist. And we've been trying to talk about it all season about how it's not the perfect game. It's how you have your game plan, you make teams, play to your level, but you're ready to adjust, you're ready to make adjustments and solve problems. And I think you've seen that pay off over the last two playoff games.
Yeah, Coach, you were talking last night. You said that, like, in the overtime intermissions, right? I mean, you're playing almost two full games of hockey, and they were like, we feel good because we practiced really hard all year. And you mentioned things like workouts and 10-mile bikes. I'm just kind of wondering, what are some specifics that you've done with them over the course of the year to kind of keep them in shape and keep their compete high for the playoffs?
We've been very creative, but it's all been a part of the other messaging of giving it back to the players. The practice compete, the contact focus with detail and intention, but the mentality and compete that goes with it. It's been a standard from the get-go. And like I've mentioned it midway through the year, I've never seen a team in my entire career, player and coach, that has maintained this level of compete through an entire season in practice. And it's setting standards for when you get hit, how do you react? When something doesn't go your way, how do you react? We've empowered the captains and we've given them permission to give feedback to each other. And so having team responses to not meeting our standards and then giving them permission to hold each other accountable to that. Like we have very high standards for how we practice, and then we start rewarding them. If you act like a pro and you practice at that level, the practices get shorter. And you try to reward that when it shows up. And we've been very creative and responded to what they've needed and pushed them at times and have belief in the long-term and short-term plan. There's so much that goes into it, but ultimately it comes back to them and their willingness to compete and the joy that they found in it all year.
We'll go Eli and then Sam again.
Yeah, you guys have you obviously are very familiar with Northeastern. You've played them four times already this season. You've kind of had every sort of game, big stage, overtime, just a straight up game. Just what specifically are you guys going to have to do just to be successful against them on Saturday?
Play our best game. I mean, it's funny. I think about it, and we were talking as a group. Like for us, it's like an NHL game seven. You're not just fighting to compete for something that you want and showing up and performing. You have to beat a team that could be their last game, and they're going to fight for every inch. So I think that's the same no matter what team you're playing, and they're a highly skilled team with great goaltending and experience at the highest levels. And but I think ultimately it's us believing. That's always what it's been with us against Northeastern. It's like we know the style of game that they play. They're going to put up a good game, but it's us believing in what we're capable of and not getting in our own way.
Yeah, it's kind of a similar question. I think Craig asked you before BC about your level of confidence playing BC, and you said there's kind of like this emotional connotation with Northeastern and BC that you kind of have to get over. And obviously, Northeastern had beaten you. I think it was 11 straight games in a row before this year. Like, do you feel like, in your first year last year, like they were kind of just in their heads a little bit playing against Northeastern because the team they hadn't beaten in so long?
For sure, especially, and it's kind of full circle to all your questions, going down early in a game and how to get over that and the opponents that have, made you struggle over the years. We've just been chipping away, and Northeastern's one of those, and I think that it's been cool. Like we had the opportunity to play them, 2 weeks to the day after the Bean Pot final and have a completely unique game with the Welkies not there and an overtime winner. Like, so we're just banking all the experiences, right? And I think that's the cool part. But they're another good opponent who's in our way to get to the ultimate goal.
Angela?
Congrats, coach, on the win last night. Yeah, question on how have you been able to take this program in 2 years to playing in the championship game? You can kind of summarize that. Also, if you have any perspective on your heroes, but also your unsung heroes, those that maybe aren't going to be on the score sheet that you want to call out.
Yeah, I'll start with your second one, I think, because it really has. I mean, I think you can see it from the outside looking in, even. It's been a team effort all year. We haven't had necessarily the one line or the one player or one or two players that are, getting us points every game. It's been a team effort. I started early in the season acknowledging our defensive core. They've come to be in the limelight a little bit more near the end of the season. But experience with our two grad seniors back there and senior defenseman Maggie Hanselman, Maeve Kelly, Maeve Carey and freshman Kiri Healy and our, two other freshmen. They've just been solid in moving pucks and being the backbone of our, the backbone of our game. But what I really think has been unique about our team is we have puzzle pieces up and down our lineup. And it's funny, we really adjust our lines depending on the style of game we need to play. You look at who you put with the Welkies sometimes versus other times, and it's adjusted all year. And so I think it really does speak to our depth and just trying to find ways to build momentum over time and, be threatening. From year one to year two, I don't know if I'm going to have the answer for that for you right away, but I think just being able, like, the opportunity to learn from an entire season with an amazing team of players, a staff that we got to actually have the time to, like, reflect, have an entire off season and regroup and learn, and then put it all into play. Like, every year, I guess it's in the nerd in me, but you get to try new tactics, try different ways of getting the most out of your players and staff, and every time you're learning from it. And we tried to listen to the players, give it back to them. We had time as a staff to get more united and organized, and hopefully next year we'll get it even better. But it's just the opportunity to learn from year one and add it to year two.
Thank you.
Eli and Sam.
Yeah, Sam kind of asked you yesterday post game, like if he were to tell you that you would be in this game on Saturday at the beginning of the season, you said you wouldn't have been surprised, but you didn't necessarily have these expectations coming into the season. Do you think your team is kind of benefiting from, not having those expectations at this point in the season? Coming, is that like playing with house money almost? Like, what do you kind of grasp from them?
Yeah, it's unique, right? Because then you put yourself in a situation where you could have been the top seed going into playoffs. And even though the underlying root that everyone knows is that no one projected you to be in that seed to begin with, but you still are. And so I think, like, the it's funny when you talk about building context around games, which we all love to do in this room, obviously. It's something that kind of balances itself out. But I think it does. But I think honestly, the belief and confidence has been the thing that needed to be generated the most. Like, the underdog mentality, you can play with that for sure, but the more we put ourselves in this situation in playoffs, like, every win this season was so valuable. And I don't know if you can put your finger on one over the other, but last change, home ice over the last two games, huge, crucial, and we earned it. And the home and the fans and the atmosphere, all the things that we put ourselves into the situation of top seed, like, that we had that mentality with us and confidence. But knowing that even throughout it all, after Vermont, we were really tough on ourselves. How do we handle pressure? How do we handle stress? After the Beanpot, we weren't happy. We weren't happy with it. And it was something that we had to generate confidence in how we were going to handle big games. And so I think both are true at the same time. It's nice to be the underdog and to know that you're doing something for the first time in a long time for your program. But at the same time, we're a top seed coming into this run, and we got to act that way.
Just kind of curious, like, what do you on the ice, like, what do you think Northeastern does that is kind of the toughest to deal with, or just like, what is the most challenging thing that they do?
They have a lot of speed on every line. Even you look the way that their lines have shaped up over the course of the season, that young second line that's just going to play and make you pay if you make mistakes. And defensemen that can move the puck. So they're able to play fast in every zone. I think that's the biggest thing. And obviously, good attention to detail to get in on the forecheck on you if they can. And they're going to make you pay if you don't establish yours in an effective way. And then obviously, with good goaltending in net, they're gonna keep themselves in games. But I see a well-coached team, and excited to see where we match up again this time of year.
Go ahead again, Sam.
Yeah, last one for me. I just wanted to ask you, kind of get more specifics on, like, what does kind of the Welke Walsh line provide when they're together, and kind of why do you think they're so good together?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, Riley, I mean, you guys got to see her a little bit closer up in our last interview, but just like, what a presence and someone that's just so in the moment and like lives by every battle. Like, she's not thinking ahead to the next shift, let alone next game. She's literally living in every battle. When you look at the ability of, Luisa and Lily to possess pucks and, get themselves out of corners and use 3 to 5 foot plays to, gain time and space. And then you have Riley that's going to hunt it back down for him every time. And you even saw Riley's ability to continue plays with their hands and skill set this past game, and someone to go to the net. So she just gives him a little bit more of that 200-foot grit and determination, and they complement each other well. I think when you talk about the mentality and relationship they have between all three of them.
Eli?
Yeah, just lastly, I know the goal, the second goal yesterday that didn't end up counting was still maybe one of the prettiest goals I've seen you guys score all year. You just kind of talk about what that was like, just kind of seeing that play unfold, just the tic-tac-toe and the end of the goal.
Well, funny enough, as the Vermont overtime winner, I didn't see that how it started. Probably talking to another line on the bench, but from what I watched in film and did see at the end, it was a diamond formation on entry with D up in the play, and that created depth and layers to our attack, and they were able to see what the option was and execute it. And I would say a massive shout out to our assistant coach Brett Gilmore, who got down on the radio in that situation, and we were able to almost preempt our girls emotionally that the call might not go our way. And knowing that it was obviously a big goal and a big momentum goal, but it can hurt you just as much on the other side. And we were able to really just talk through what both was going to mean for us. But like you said, whether it was a goal or not a goal, real pretty entry and execution on our part.
I was just curious, you just mentioned it. Like when you guys are in like long reviews like that, does Brett often kind of radio down because he can see it? And obviously you guys can't on the bench.
Yeah, whenever we can have that added element of information, for sure, super helpful. And you're just always managing it, right? And that's the whole point. You come full circle to our preparation. You're ready for the game to go either way. You never know. And they responded. We knew no matter what, they're going to go line up and back to work.